All right, gang, it is time for Puck Off. Andy Picaro and Fraser Smith here at the All Things Comedy Studios in Burbank, California. And our good friend Joe Bartnick is in Aruba. Joe Bartnick, what's it like in Aruba?
It's beautiful. It's always 82. They call it the Happy Island.
Yeah, man. And you're doing shows, and you had one show so far. How did it go?
It went fantastic. You know, I got a lot of Boston people, a Buffalo Sabre fan, big guy, just, you know, all East Coast people getting out of the weather. And I flew out of Newark. It was a blizzard. So it feels good to be here. I'm going to thank everyone that came out to see me in New York. It was fantastic. And then I guess we'll do the plugs later. But how about Sidney Crosby, the captain, number 500 last night from Geno, melting the creamsicles. Thank God Tanger saved the day. Upon further review, I thought, you know what? Starting the Smith was genius by Sully, because that you really see, does he have it or he doesn't? I think he failed the test. And your thoughts, Andy Picaro?
I agree. I think that we've been seeing him really kind of ride Casey, you know, in games where I think he could have started Jari just because of the break scenario and how many days they had off. But I think that he needs to find out if it's going to be him or Domingue, or if they need to trade for somebody. So I think that's the immediate thought process there. But just more about Sid, I just can't I believe it felt like yesterday he got 300. And his goal scoring ability, I think, is one of the only things in his game that continues to get a little better. I'm not saying he puts up more goals, but, you know, he's been shooting and shooting from dangerous places more the past 5 years. It's one of those things where when he first started, he always would go into the corner behind the net and really direct the beginning of the play. And, like, I saw that Mark Recchi only had 16 assists of his 500 goals. Recchi only had 16 assists. He played on his line for, like, 2 years. And I remember, yeah, Sid was always creating. He was never shooting. So it was kind of like one of those moments of, I remember people saying he wouldn't get to 500 goals. You know, he might have, you know, the second most assists ever, but he's never going to get to 500 goals. And just, it's great to see his game still changing and still kind of him working on the things he's not, that aren't, you know, the top echelon for him.
Your thoughts, Frase?
Well, what can you say about this guy? I mean, he is elite. And one of the greats of the modern era. And I'm not surprised at all. I don't think any of us are. But Andy's right. He's such a great assist guy that you didn't know if he would get all the goals. But he can do it all. You know, he's a unbelievable player. And it's great to see him hit that milestone.
Yeah, you know, we'll stop off the Slurp Fest right after this. But I know where I was at when they won the lottery. And I jumped. I had to be one of the only two people west of the Mississippi watching the lottery live. And I remember how high I jumped. Like, I was in the Jason Bourne movie, and I was jumping to catch myself on the wall to climb back. I can never jump that high again. And he's lived up to it.
Yeah.
That's, you know, regarding the cups, everything, and then just the human being that he is, it's remarkable. So now as everyone stops, so the other people who hate him can stop puking, but that's his jealousy. We'll move on. Tons of news this week. Tippett relieved of his duties in Edmonton. They got Woodruff, and guys won like three in a row. Your thoughts, Fraser?
Well, it had to happen, I think. You know, something had to happen there. You know, they're still in the hunt, too. They can still get there. You know, it's that Pacific Division, very tight. But I think we all felt like, you know, something was off in Edmonton, so they had to do something.
Yeah, I think that they might have had, like, a bit of that dead coach bump a little bit. I think that, you know, almost every time we see a coach get relieved, those first five games, we see a different team than we've seen all season.
Yeah.
Whether you're a good team, a bad team, a mediocre team, I think we see that bump. They got to play great hockey down the stretch. They got to play, like, you know, well above 500 hockey to get in, 600 hockey probably. So it's, I don't know, I think it's still kind of stacked against them. They're there, but I don't know if it really fixes anything at the end of the day. That team still falls short in pretty much every category besides superstars.
Yeah, I mean, players, they need players too.
Yeah.
They.
Well, you know, he's doing it without Duncan Keith, and he's doing it without Cassian. But I thought it was funny that, you know, now they brought up Skinner. Skinner won some games, and they got Evander Kane. So the job's a little bit easier at one point. But I do think that, you know, I just think starting Mike Smith back-to-back, it's like, just say, just resign. That's what you want.
I can't believe Smith's still there, because Smith, and this is something Holland said, I think it was 2 or 3 months ago, Ken Holland came out with a press conference when things started to go really, really bad. I think they had lost, like, you know, the 14 of 16 or whatever, and he came out and said, look, things are rough, but I don't like firing coaches midseason. And he actually, when asked about Smith, said, well, he was Tip's guy, you know, and Tip really wanted him here, and he came in and played well. I'm surprised with Tippett leaving that Smith is still there, because that was his connection. Yeah. That's why he was there. That's who trusted him. That's who wanted him. So I don't know how many more games Mike Smith has left. You know, I mean, he's had a great career, but I don't think how much he has left. He's probably
horrible in those games. He looked horrible. In other news of Flandering team changing coaches, Martin St. Louis in, Dom Ducharme out in Montreal. Now they're paying three coaches, two of them not the coach. St. Louis' only experience, other than being a Hall of Famer, is coaching Pee Wee hockey, but he's probably better than Dom Ducharme.
Well, that's probably true. I don't know what his coaching skills are. I loved him as a player. But they had to do, again, they had to do something. You know? Yeah. Same scenario. Nobody expected them to be in the basement this year, and they played horribly, and now they got to do something. Well, so
I think they're in complete rebuild, right? I mean, so to do that, you bring in a coach who's going to have no expectation. Marty St. Louis could have not a very good record for his first 100 games coaching, and everyone would understand it. He's beloved there. And let's face it, he would be the best player on their roster if he dressed tomorrow.
Probably.
So there's some excitement in having a guy like that in your organization. I think it's kind of more of a, hey, guys, we're trying. Look how much we're trying. We got this beloved guy coming in. I think this is some fan work here. And again, I think maybe Marty St. Louis ended up being a great coach, but it was out of kind of nowhere. I mean, I had never heard his name mentioned in anything before, not like Danny Briere or Chris Drury, where before they got their jobs, people were talking about it for months.
Well, the new GM was his agent, and they're very close. Okay. So I'm not saying they have a rat on the team now, but they got a guy on the bench that can see everything and who's, you know, what everyone's about and that they trust. And now assistant to the GM, Vincent LeCavalier. So you talk about two guys that can still be playing.
Yeah,
those
right.
Two guys on Montreal. And also it came out that, you know, Andy, your favorite myth that Tortorella gets along with people. LeCavalier won it out of Tampa so many times, and the owner wouldn't let him go. I found that out this week.
But I was always saying Brad Richards in St. Louis. Those were my two. I don't know. I wasn't in the room, so I'm not sure. I know St. Louis and Brad Richards always said nice things about Torts. I don't know about...
apparently, Vinny LeCavalier never did.
Yeah, but...
he has to be traded.
In everyone's defense, he was stripped of the C, and he was... Look, I love Vinny LeCavalier. But the reason he never played in Montreal or New York was that things might have got off the rails a little bit. He liked to hang out. You know what I mean? He was a party guy.
Well, the owner literally vetoed the trade for him to go to Toronto, and it was going to be him and Sundin. That's why the rumor's picking up steam, because him and Sundin might actually get them out of the first round. I think he can carry Sundin, if you will.
Do you guys think generally ex players make good coaches or not?
It seems like go ahead, Joe.
I think ex third line, fourth line guys, Sullivan, Berube, I'm blanking a little bit here, but you know, Blausma for that matter. They seem to have to use their intellect and hard work and got a good seat to a lot of hockey.
Right, sure, yeah.
And goalies, because they've watched a lot of hockey.
Yeah.
And you get inside of a goalie. But the guys that can just score at will, they seem to have a great life and they don't want to ride the buses and learn how to actually coach, i.e. Wayne Gretzky. You know, what's he going to do? Hey, just go out there and go in my old office and hit Messier.
Yeah, exactly.
Well, that's the thing. It is a profession, and a lot of these coaches, they flamed out of the game in their early 20s, maybe mid-20s, and then they right away became coaches. If you played until 38, now you're not a coach until 39. So I know you know the game and you've played it, but I agree with Joe that you can't have had this long, storied, great career and also learned enough about coaching. And that was, again, what I was said about Dan Bylsma. I think Dan Bylsma still has the opportunity to be a great coach. He won a Stanley Cup 4 years into being a coach. And that kind of did it was a right place, right time type situation. But he was still brand new. He was still how to fill out the lineup cards. And all of a sudden, he's in the Stanley Cup Finals when 5 years previously, he was playing in the Stanley Cup Finals. So I think that, I think that the guys need to have – there's a learning curve. And I think that we'll see it with St. Louis maybe a little bit. That you got to learn how to be a coach. You don't just turn into one.
Yeah, yeah.
Well, Disco shouldn't have written a book on how to coach. 2 years after winning a cup, you know, maybe he could have waited like Scotty Bowman. I think Scotty waited until he was about 80 before he started writing books. And Mr. Burke, you know, you might want to slow down to Barnes and Noble, you know.
I bought that, by the way. I have that book.
Scotty's book?
No, Bylsma's. I think it's called How to Win or A Team to Win.
How about Toffoli? Toffoli leaving Montreal.
To Calgary, a great move for – he scored two last night. Great move for Calgary. You got to love it for Sutter. What are you thinking? A first, a fifth? I'm not familiar with the prospect, and Pitlick never worked out, but he is an NHL body and definitely could play in Montreal this year. But a first and a bunch of change seems like a whole lot for Toffoli. I mean, a first, okay. More than that, though, seems like a lot. What are you saying?
I think that it shows that this is going to be a competitive market at the deadline for rental players or players that are still under – if you have a need, you better have a lot in the cupboard. Because with this much going to Toffoli, what are the Avalanche – what is their deal on the table for Giroux? I mean, and again, I'm not trying to tout Giroux or anything like that. I'm just saying that with Toffoli setting the market at a first, another pick, and a rostered player at minimum – There's going to be some serious picks moving across with these teams that want to win and have extra picks.
Well, you know what, though? I'm going to square back on that comment because I think Toffoli means more to Calgary than a lot of people because he has two rings. He knows Darryl, and they need – A, they need Johnny Hockey insurance, and B, they need scoring. Everyone needs scoring. Yeah. That would be a stupid statement. But I think he fits in Calgary a lot. I think – that Giroux is going to screw over the Avalanche because he's saying pretty much behind closed doors he'll only go to Colorado.
Well, he had a full no trade, and he said he'd go to St. Louis, Colorado, and Minnesota. They asked him for his teams, and those are his three. Those are the three teams that Giroux has allowed himself to be traded to. It's very possible it doesn't happen when the list is only three. There's three negotiations. They all go bad. You're still on the team in the summer. I mean, so that's what I'm saying is I don't know. I think Philly's asking price, they're going to try and get similar to Montreal for Toffoli or more, and they might not be happy with letting Giroux go for whatever that picks or those are, even are.
Well, he's going to go because he's literally worth nothing at the end of the year because he's a free agent. So he's going to go he's going to go to one of those three. I think if you said that, I think he's going to go to St. Louis because I can't see Billy Guerin, who's going to be $15 million over the cap next year with his dead weight, already going to go get a guy that, you know, that room is one of the tightest rooms in hockey is the Wild right now. You want Giroux coming in there and ruining that?
Well, I don't know if he ruins that, though. He is liked by around the league by the players. I mean, fans don't really like him, but it's not like, you know, Claude Giroux hasn't really had a cancer like to him. Like, you know what I mean? Like, hasn't won in the playoffs, but I don't think he wrecks a good team. You know, if anything,
but he is a personality, though. He's a personality on the team that's kind of – I can see him fitting in much easier in St. Louis where they all have cups. And in Colorado, you know, not too many big dogs in Minnesota that can kind of put him in his place.
If he goes to St. Louis
– He's not coming in with the – you know, yeah, because he comes to St. Louis, everyone there has a ring, so he can't, he should know his place. Minnesota, he could rub people the wrong way, is all I'm saying.
Well, see,
he
I've always.
Go in there swinging a big.
Oh, go ahead. I'm sorry, Joe.
No, he can't go in there swinging, he's the big dog, because, I mean, he's not.
But isn't that, I think that's always been my knock on Giroux. My knock on Giroux is that he's never played, talked like, been in the scrums like the guy, even though he had the C and he was the guy. I think if you make him not the guy, I think that's ideal for him. I think he can't wait to get out of a spotlight. I don't think it was ever for him. And that's always been my biggest knock, is I don't know if he's ever a captain.
How do you think he fits with the F?
I don't think it would be a dramatic improvement, but I think that, you know, the Avalanche are all in, and if they can get five more goals out of anybody, they're going to take it.
I think the best spot for him is St. Louis. I think he fits that style. He can muck it up. He can be his a-hole self and get backed up by that team. You know what I mean? And they need goals, and he knows Berube and O'Reilly and – all the other guys in that team will keep him in his place.
Yeah, I just think Colorado's a front runner because that's where he said he wanted to go, and they've been the team that's been kicking the tires about him, you know, publicly a little bit. And I also just think that they probably will have a package that's the most palatable for the Flyers to take because they've got a lot of excess.
Maybe it's just my hope that he doesn't go to Colorado because then I can't root for Colorado. But I would think the Colorado doesn't need to break the bank to get a little bit more scoring on their third line. Like, they don't need Giroux as much as St. Louis does, in my opinion.
Yeah, and this is I'd have to look at, and you're on my phone, so I don't want to meddle with it. But I do think that as far as assets to trade that won't hurt your team and you're not using right now in the future, I think that Colorado has got an abundance, and St. Louis has kind of already given away some of their chips the past few years.
But I would think Colorado would have to fit him in under the cap, though. I guess St. Louis is near the cap too, right?
I think, yeah, and again, I don't want to look, but I think that because of McKinnon missing time and other players missing time, there's that LTIR relief.
Speaking of that, Jack Eichel will make his appearance tonight as a Vegas Golden Knight.
Tonight. Here he is.
Because Mark Stone conveniently is back so sore. there's no Larry Bird rule, but it is a soft cap when you can fake injuries.
I'm not sure. I think he's stunk this year, and I know that we were on him last year, and he had a good playoff, and then he didn't have a good series when they were eliminated. He has not been good this year. I've watched Vegas a lot, and he's been like the sixth player I've noticed. So, I mean, I agree, Joe. It's convenient timing. Maybe something was nagging him, and he was just playing through it, and that's why he wasn't getting pucks to the net or on the puck nearly as much. And I, quite honestly, if the All-Star game wasn't in Vegas, I would have been astonished to see him there. I don't think he'd quite deserve to be on the podium with some of those guys. So, to me, he's been playing bad, and this helps them a lot. You trade Jack Eichel, bring in Jack Eichel, you lose Stone. Good, you know, if you're Vegas on all accounts. Now, he's not been there this year.
Does Eichel do a Stamkos and start off hot right away?
Who knows? It's been so long he's played an NHL game. He looked very good skating in the summer, just taking slap shots in non-contact leagues and stuff like that. But again, he's playing with college kids in a non-contact league. It's very hard to judge where he's going to be, you know, when he's cruising down the ice and, you know, all of a sudden it's Seth Jones and not a BC defenseman that you got to be.
Yeah,
it's going to be a bit different.
Yeah. I'm not as high on Eichel. I think he's a good player. I think he's a regular season player. I think he's a little even less than Claude Giroux as far as when the going gets tough. Exactly. What you gonna do when it's Nathan McKinnon?
Yeah. Well. Yeah. Now, did you guys hear the rumor that there's a rumor that Flower may be going back to Vegas?
Now,
yeah,
he used to play in Patty Cake against the Devils in October.
I read that there was nothing to that, and I think McCrimmon, I can't say his name correctly. I think that Flower's camp and McCrimmon's camp said that was just kind of born out of Lerner getting hurt. That there wasn't really serious talks, and I don't think that could happen. I also read that he won't go to Washington who also wanted him because of his history against the Capitals. He playing for the Penguins. It doesn't feel like it would be right. So I don't know what Flower. You might have a great goaltender just sit there and not get traded because, you know, he's been jerked around. He doesn't deserve to be. He's a Hall of Famer.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? If he doesn't want to pick up his bags again, if he just wants to sit in his penthouse in Chicago and go, oh, I'm here now, then I think he deserves that.
The only trade that could ever happen is, God forbid, something happened to Jari.
Yeah, maybe. That's actually probably true because, he'd have to really want to go there, and that guy is tired of moving his family around. And, again, a first-ballot Hall of Famer shouldn't have to keep getting on a plane.
Would be cool to see him in a Penguin uniform, though, again.
It would, of course. But only if Tristan got hurt, and Tristan's playing amazing. I'd rather have Tristan over almost anybody.
Yeah. True.
Jari would have to get hurt. Otherwise, and it's great that he turned down Washington. Even though I think it'd have been great theater, and I don't hate the Capitals, and I think it'd just been amazing fun. I'm glad he didn't do it.
It would have been weird.
It's just cool he didn't do it. Here's the big news. Here's the big news I heard coming from Chicago, is that Patrick Kane might be on the table in some circumstances.
Wow. Never thought I'd hear that.
And there's people saying, well, the Blackhawks just need to get rid of everybody from the 2010 scandal. I didn't agree with that at all. You can get rid of everyone wearing a suit you want. Get rid of Jonathan Toews if you want. But if you get rid of Patrick Kane, you're cutting off your nose. I don't even know what metaphor that is. But you're just saying you're giving up 5 years of a franchise. You're giving away the best thing about that franchise. We can shoot Eddie O in the streets. I mean, that's ridiculous.
But if you're looking at it from Patty Kane's point of view, or, you know, maybe even Johnny T, if you're looking at it from their point of view, do you want to sit through this rebuild? Which, by the way, is not going well in year one.
It's not.
And if it doesn't go well in year two, you're going to be retiring soon. I mean, do you want to retire in the same logo on a bad team? Or do you want these guys are looking around and seeing Stevie Stamkos and Malkin and Ovechkin and all their contemporaries still competing. So I think it might go both ways, you know?
Well, I agree with that statement. But I would certainly make it up to him. I wouldn't run Patrick Kane out of town.
Yeah,
house.
That's a good point. You don't want to run him off.
Yeah, I think that looks bad. I think that that's probably the case because I don't think they want to run him off. I think that I think it mutually would benefit both sides, and I think both sides are probably kind of figuring that out slowly, and I think neither side wants that. I'm sure Patty Kane wants to stay in Chicago and have them be great, and they want to keep them and have them be great, but if they're going to stink and he's only going to play a few more years, then I think it kind of makes sense.
Do you think he'd like to get on a winner?
Yeah, and like I said, I'm sure his first choice would be make Chicago a winner, but if that's not, again, if that keeps
that's a
getting,
few years
if
off,
that keeps
yeah.
being kicked down the road,
yeah.
I see him wanting to leave more than wanting to stay, not because he hates Chicago, because he can still play. He can still win a Conn Smythe. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
He probably wants to go do that.
Well, what's interesting about that rebuild is the Breakout's playing great. I think Doc has been a disappointment, and certainly, in the Sun.
The number eight, Kubalik.
Kubalik. Yeah. Kubalik, yes. I think I got it without your help. Kubalik's been a disappointment. But, Strome's been a disappointment. But Seth Jones is playing good now. I mean, like, Flower was a little shaky, but now Flower's being Flower. Taves has been – I guess it's all been disappointing. But then Hagelkin's been good. What's funny is Sammy Lafferty's played okay. What's funny is, like, they have some people in place. I don't know if it's a five-year rebuild, but it will be if Kane goes. I mean, Kane
well,
and Brink
true.
Look great,
yeah.
You know?
Yeah, no, I think that I had read an article about, and that might have been the same one you read, Joe, I don't remember, about trading the older guys and giving DeBrincat the C and just turning the page and just going, okay, now we've got, because whatever you do get for Kane, I mean, again, we saw what Toffoli just went for. I mean, whatever you get for Kane, and again, it might not be best at the deadline. This might be a summer deal because it's too big to deal with cap-wise and the craziness of doing it right at this deadline. I do think the return could be something that if you're a hockey fan in Chicago and you really look at it, you might go, this might be best for us than having Patty Kane for three more years.
you know.
Well, does it have to be in the summer? Because no one's going to have 10 million
later. Well, that's what I'm saying. I don't
think it's not going to happen. It's not going to be a trade.
No, that's a great point. Yeah, I'll tell you, I'll put this out there. BB, if you're listening, how about Patty Kane going home to Buffalo?
That's a reasonable thought. But again, in Buffalo, to be honest with you, they've really, the past 30 games, them in Ottawa, look, they don't win that often, but they're showing signs of moving forward. Those teams, there's something there now where they can get a little excited for, hey, maybe you're going to win sooner than later.
I'll tell you who should be excited. The Motor City, the golf line.
Yeah.
Bertuzzi, Fabbri, surrounded by two Suter, one of the hottest lines in hockey. Remember, they're doing all this without Verona.
Yep. Yeah. Look, the future looks bright for the Wings.
Yeah, I got Bertuzzi in fantasy. I'm loving this. Okay. I think the Wings are here now. They're good. They might still make the playoffs this year, especially with, you know, Boston wobbly a little bit. The Wings are good enough. They're a bubble playoff team now, and I think that, you know, that's the beginning of, you're officially turning the corner now. Like, you're competing for the playoffs.
Stevie Y has done his job.
Yeah, there's no more build up. Now you are one of the teams. You are competing.
Craig Berube, 3-year extension. I think that's a nice move for St. Louis. I think it's a nice move for the Chiefs, because he's going to be good for at least another year and a half before they tune him out. So then you can buy him out at that point. But I think it's a good move. You want to stabilize that, you know. You want to stabilize the Bluesers.
Yeah. No, I mean, and again, when you've got a good coach, you know, the carousel in this league flies, I think, a little bit too fast. I think teams have been too quick to not give extensions and let guys go. Like, Laviolette's coached way too many teams. You know what I mean? Like, there's certain coaches you got to keep around, and Berube is, St. Louis is doing it right.
Yeah, he's done well for them.
Yeah.
Armstrong, Barbecue Bruce. 1,000. Great tribute video, too. Brucey was tearing up. There's no crying in hockey, Brucey. You got to love it. You gotta love barbecue, getting the love.
Yeah.
No, yeah. Any guy that has a pregame ice cream sundae is a
does he really? Is that tradition?
I don't know if it's post-morning skate or if it's post-game, but he's kind of famous for always having his ice cream. I forget where I heard that.
Well, you know, I heard a story too that he was the longest tenured minor league coach like ever, and he went to one summer camp the summer before he got brought up in Washington, and he goes the runner of the camp, he'd be going there like 40 years, you know, teaching kids. He goes, Bruce, do me a favor this year, go buy yourself two new suits. And he said, for his first game on the bench in Washington, he watched them on TV, and he had one of those new suits on. So it works.
No, yeah, he's the best example of a guy who learned the game from playing in the minors, you know, having a long career in the minors, but learned the game from riding buses and really, you know, thinking about it and not being on airplanes and in five-star hotel rooms. He had notebooks in Hershey, Pennsylvania, just writing things down. And look at what he's done. He's been, you know, gotten to so many wins so quickly in his career.
Well, we gotta learn, especially in this day and age. You know, no one's cracking heads, and you can't be a tyrant. You can't learn how to deal with people. There's no better way to learn how to deal with people than riding 12-hour bus rides.
It's true.
Yeah.
Go ahead, Frazier.
Well, no, I think he's done an amazing job actually as a coach. We make fun of him all the time, but he's pretty. You know, he's done pretty well.
You know, to quote Jeffrey Ross, you only make fun of the ones you love.
Yeah, yes, that's it. Yeah.
Well, I
love Brucey, though.
Yeah.
I begged Brucey to take a job 3 jobs ago. I said, don't
that's
go to
true.
Minnesota,
that's
Bruce.
True, you did.
You remember that phrase?
Yeah,
that
you
two
did.
2 jobs ago.
Yeah, you did.
Well, hockey needs more Bruce Boudreaux. There needs to be more people. There needs to be a Steve Van Gundy. There needs to be people that are interesting in the sport. And I think this is something that hockey's always lacked, is showcasing, hey, this guy's funny. This guy is naturally somebody we should put on commercials and make him kind of a face of the league. I've always felt that way about Bruce. He's just likable. If Firestone wants to sell tires, put Bruce Boudreaux on the commercial.
And you know, when he goes on NHL Channel, for example, before he got this latest gig, he was on there a lot as an analyst. And he's great to listen to. He's fun and upbeat.
He's like a giggly, goofy guy. Yeah. He's the kind of guy that if any other sport, they would have marqueed him. They would have been like, look at how funny Bruce is this week again. And he's been in the room with his teams and stuff.
Speaking of fun guys, speaking of a one and only, a couple days ago, the man who sits atop my Christmas tree every year turned 50 years old. And the Penguins can't even retire his number because he's still playing hockey. They wanted to retire it on the 50th anniversary or the 30th anniversary of the 91-92 teams. But he was still playing. When they brought all the players in, they wanted all of his teammates to be there. But he's still playing.
He's got three more years to beat Gordy.
Well, as much as I love Yogs, I would not count the Czech B League as skating in the National Hockey League.
Yeah, but it's still amazing at the age of 50 that he can even do it at all.
Yeah.
I mean, if you're 50 and you're the best player in your men's league, like you're a physical specimen. You know, if you're 50 and you can get paid to be an athlete, you're not a closer in baseball. Like, it's just kind of unheard of.
Well, this is nowhere near taking a shot at, arguably my favorite player of all time. Sorry, Mary, is that Yags, he owns a team. So he's kind of like the comedy club owner doing a set.
Yeah, a little bit. Yeah.
Well, he did say he wanted to quit. Yeah. He said if it was up to him, he would have quit a few years ago. But, you know, got to keep going to keep that team alive.
He owns the team. He plays the home games so they make money. And he goes on the road every now and then just to keep the league solvent. Because everywhere he goes, he sells out.
He's got to stay for a few more years then.
And let's face it, Lemieux saved the Penguins legitimately twice. Jágr saved them twice on the ice, or they would have been bankrupt. Legitimately bankrupt.
He doesn't score that goal against the Devils. Yeah, there's a chance that everything goes bad right after that, right? That Devils OT goal?
Is he in the Holy Trinity? No. Is he Sid and Gordy? No. But he's right there.
Well, you know what?
He's in the top 10.
Perhaps
he's in the top 10.
Perhaps the most entertaining player ever. For pure entertainment, just to watch him.
Yeah, I think that if you want to argue the top four stays the top four, the next four, Messier, LaFleur, Sid, Ovi, Jágr. I guess that's five, but that's like that next level. He's right severely in that next tier where you could argue, skills-wise, maybe he was.
And fun to watch. Fun to watch. Yeah. Even a non-hockey fan could appreciate his skills.
Well, his puck-handling ability and his strength is something I don't know. I don't know if that's even been replicated yet.
The way he could circle around and his just skating ability, pretty entertaining to watch.
Like, Sid is strong and MacKinnon is strong. These guys are really strong in their skates. But Jágr was also just physically a horse. He's a linebacker. So, I mean, it really was like Lindros with Bure hands. It's hard to find.
Well, even he just said on TNT with Talking the Gang that he said how he liked hockey in the 90s better. I mean, he was 18 playing in a man's league in those days. It wasn't like, oh, look, don't hit Elias Pettersson too hard. He was playing in the early 90s. And no one could knock him around. He's a horse at 18. I mean, and I was watching just tons of his goals on his birthday. You know, the goal that Mario has a statue of, Jágr's got like five or six of those. I mean, he beat everyone with speed. He beat everyone every which way. He may have the best 10 craziest goals. If you put everyone's best goals, that's everybody's. Lemieux, Gretzky, Ovi, Gene, everyone's. He may have the 10 best. If you line 1 through 10, he may have the 10 best.
I can see it.
I think it's him, Ovi, and Datsyuk would probably.
Yeah, if Datsyuk went through was the reels, fun to watch, yeah. Too, yeah.
Yeah, I tell you, Datsyuk definitely has the 10 best assists, except maybe Gretzky.
Well, Gretzky and
in which some of his passes.
Gretzky and Crosby was more about how they just dominated the ice. It wasn't even about, of course they did highlight things because they were so talented, but it was more about the fact that they just, again, they were doing chess, everybody else playing checkers. Yeah. That was Wayne and Sid's thing.
And, of course, Bobby Orr had that ability to entertain and be fun to watch, too.
Well, yeah, just do things. No one ever, the guy that, you know, your shutdown defenseman is leading the league in points, and yeah. He's a nasty guy to play against. Yeah, I mean, or just, you know, a lot of the older hockey fans I talk to put Orr one. If I talk to a hockey fan that's like in their 80s, 90, they all say Orr.
No one was a better skater.
Yeah.
And Yags was a great skater, too. Yags could really skate.
That's why Bobby Orr is on the Holy Trinity. There's only one Bobby Orr.
Yeah.
You know, it's like he reinvented hockey. McKinnon took the high road, said the hit was a freak play that broke his face. He took the high road. That was pretty cool of him. What do you guys – it looks like Arizona is going to play. We got to go take a puck off road trip and see that 4,000-seater. I wonder if tickets will still be $12 for the three of us combined.
I mean, I don't – I don't know what you guys saw about this, but I like to watch Alan Walsh's new podcast with Adam Wilde, because it's really, you know, getting an agent in the game, one of the more powerful agents, being honest about what he thinks. This is very suspicious to everyone, because every other owner in the league you would think would not like this, because they're going to make no money. They're going to have to renegotiate a piece of the CBA just to have this take place. And so... Phoenix used to never move because it was part of the TV deal that Phoenix market had to be in the TV deal. That new TV deal has nothing keeping them there. So there's a lot of different theories as to what's going on here. Do they really believe in the Tempe project, or does the league really believe that if they don't let them play at ASU, they will have nowhere for one of their teams to play next year?
Do you know that the AHL teams and players are mocking them now?
Yeah, well, because, yeah. I mean, you have CHL teams in Canada where kids are playing that sit 12,000, 9,000 people, you know. So it's I think we won't know until this is all said and done. Did the league really want this to happen, or was this an emergency break, only place we can play? Every other building in Arizona said no, so what are we going to do?
Maybe.
And again, they got to put $25 million into the arena for it to be NHL ready. So that means that it's going to take at least 30 games to try and make back your initial investment. And that, how would they make $1 million a game? Like, you make that when you have 20,000.
Well, yeah, only when you have 5,000, yeah.
So the money pit that's being created here, and the players paying out escrow already, this is going to be a problem if it's not fixed within a year. I don't think they're going to play there for 3 years. They're going to be in Houston or something else.
Well, you think they leave Arizona?
I can't believe that Morello, Frazier's boss, here's why he hasn't said, yeah, we'll go to Houston. Because if you own a franchise in the state of Arizona, that enables you to have a gambling license.
Aha. Uh-huh.
Which is basically a license to print money. That is why they can't wrestle that team from him.
Well, the other thing is...
Because he'll never give it up, because he has a gambling license with that thing.
Ah,
the other thing is, he's worth $14 billion. He bought them for like $270 million or something. Relatively, this is not probably the biggest investment that man even has in his life.
No, I only asked him for $1 billion.
Yeah, exactly, Frazier. Yeah. I don't know how the meetings go over at the radio station, but this guy's, he's not sweating the loss of money, and Joe is completely right. The gambling issue, and the fact that once he builds that building and he owns that new building, they'll valuate up from being just a team that's worth 270 to a team that has a building. And now they'll be worth probably double in a few years if they get that new building. So he is really interested in building his own building. That's why Houston's kind of a no-go for him. He'd have to already go into a building he doesn't own. He wants his own building he builds with 80% of his own money in Arizona. That
Do
way
you get
he owns
a tax
it.
Break in Arizona?
I don't know if it's a tax break. I know that as far as sports gambling goes, that is a big thing that he wants. And I'm not sure. I think taxes, that's why people from California are all packing U-Hauls and driving over to Arizona right now. I think overall, yeah, there's less taxes. But he really wants his own building. And Quebec built a building already. Kansas City built a building already. He's not interested in existing buildings being the, you know, long-term home for his team. He wants a new
one. The only way that he can... You know, the only thing that, I mean, I thought we were talking about the Walsh, I thought he was going to say that they're going to take over the team and then break it up and then start a new franchise in Houston and take a franchise fee. Maybe not $750 million, but maybe like $500 million.
Yeah.
and then that recoups the COVID money. But yeah, it's you know, it's just a shame that there has to be that little, like, you know, black spot. I don't even really care. I think it'd be fun. I can't wait to go see a game there. I just hate being mocked by everybody because I just love hockey so much. I'm gonna turn the page for a second here. You know, with all that Arizona thing, that I don't know. The Alou guy, the guy that, you know, he's like, the Colin Kaepernick of the NHL, who wasn't good enough to ever play, and now he's saying it's because of racism. He tweeted out, look how much effort the NHL has put into trying to keep a franchise in Arizona if they would only do that to diversify their game. I'm going to say this to Mr. Alou. You weren't good enough to play. And here's the biggest case in point. Look at Evander Kane. If there was any reason to not let a man of color play, it's Evander Kane. How many shots does he get? Enough. Quit the clickbait. Go teach kids how to play hockey in the inner city. Please. Enough of this guy.
Yeah, I don't know. I honestly, I didn't see the comment. I don't know. I have no idea what he's talking about. I don't think either of those two things are relevant.
Why? It's kind of apples and oranges. It's apple, you know, two different things.
So, it's just exactly. So it's just clickbait. It's he's turning into Jamil Hill.
Yeah, I think that. You look, hey, everybody, when they get press, is going to try and stay in it and stay in being like a figurehead type thing. But I don't know. I haven't read anything about him recently. And I know the NHL created some sort of panel or whatever. I don't know. Like you said before, Joe, nothing will ever probably be enough. And if he wanted to attack a million other things going on in the league, that would make way more sense than going, hey, why are they keeping a team?
That doesn't make sense, really. Yeah.
Yeah. And again, I think that the team staying in Phoenix, there's a plan that we don't all see, including Alou, where there's money to be made and people that rich and smart are going to go make it, and we don't know what that is.
Could be what Joe said about the gambling license.
There's something brewing, because if you own the Rangers, or if you own the Maple Leafs, if you own the Flyers, you don't want to keep paying for the Phoenix Coyotes to be in existence, which is exactly what's happening. There's no Phoenix Coyotes if you don't have the New York Rangers. I mean, they're paying their bills.
Yeah, well, that's what they're saying. That's one of the things they're trying to do is have the no more. They have no chance of revenue sharing now.
Yeah,
now Toronto and the Rangers don't write them a check. Yeah, I saw that on Super Bowl Sunday, and it's like, really? There's not even any correlation to that, Jamil Hill. You're just making something up, and it's just like, I'm sorry, you weren't good enough. I you know, it's like, why did I get into this comedy club? Why didn't I? It's like, you know, life ain't fair. All right, here, blah, blah, blah. One more thing I wanted to say. Oh, did you guys see Igor get taken out for concussion protocol?
I read about it. I didn't see it.
The spotter in the sky. Yeah, I saw the highlight. I saw the trainer talking to him like, hey, you have to go get checked. And he's all like, what? But it's in South America, so the clip didn't run very long. There's no on-demand games. They're done, they're done.
You know what? I mean, just on the bench, if you see your star goaltender take a big knock to the head, you know, maybe it is best to have the spotter run out there. And, you know, it's not game six. You know, if it's a good one.
It wasn't them. You know, it's the independent spotter.
Oh, really? The team doctor doesn't? I thought there was a team doctor for each team that spotted. But I could be totally wrong.
Oh, that I don't know. And that I don't believe because... I mean, you think game six, Eastern Conference Finals, Patrick Hornquist falls on Jari awkwardly and he bangs his head on the ice. You think some guy in the PPG is going to be like, hey, it looks like Jari's head got hit off the glass. The team doctor, are you going to come out?
That's why I think it works that way. I think the teams don't want the league going, that guy's got to leave. You know what I mean?
I could be wrong.
I'd like to look.
I think the teams know that the league knows they're never going to take their own guys out.
That may be.
It could be possible. But I get the doctors that do work the sidelines and work in the end, they are pretty you know, they are pretty good sticklers for, you know, trying to keep the coach out of their ears. But it's definitely a thing. But, yeah, I'm going to look that up. We'll know next week.
Are you watching the Olympic hockey at all? USA lost their first game last night. Producer Aaron watched the game, and it was a good game. They were in that one, and they were 3-0 before that, but they lost in the shootout.
I'm sorry to say I passed out. You know, I'm actually 4 hours. I'm 1 hour east of New York, which it took me 3 days to figure out, or 2 days to figure out.
That is confusing.
I thought it was on national time. I'm like, what? Oh, these games are starting weird. No, I'm going to watch the ladies tonight because that's who I saw a lot in Korea win the cup or the cup win the gold. I'm going to watch the ladies a little later, but I did not see that. It lost all the steam. It just lost steam for me. I'm sorry. When Daniel Winnick's playing, I know it's third-rate hockey.
Well, that's what I was saying.
Andy was saying before the show.
When we sat down, and Frazier asked, and I was like, I haven't seen a lot of it because it's ECHL All-Star players. I mean, you either send your best and brightest 18, 19, 20, 21-year-olds or the pros, or why even go? Like, why am I going to see a guy that's going to play in the Southern Pro League the rest of his career? Like, it's just the level of choppiness to that hockey. And I'm not – look, they're all great, but they're not nearly the best in the world. And if the Olympics is supposed to be the best people in the world at what they're doing, like I said –
they're falling short.
Yeah. I want to see Connor Bedard being 16 and a half and playing against men from Finland and stuff. That's what I would want to see. But, you know, we're never – this weird amalgamation of, like – has-beens on these teams. I hate to call them that, but it's not good hockey.
The Canada and the United States, and if Finland and you know, Sweden won too, that's cool. They should make it be the kids again and the kids again. And then if the Russians want to take their tainted gold medals, that's fine, because then we can do have the miracle on ice again. And that's the way it should.
Yeah. And it'll never be a miracle again. We wouldn't. No one would be surprised if the KHL took their all-star team and Sweden took all of their best young prospects. I mean, it's not like it used to be. They might house the Russian team now.
Like,
you know what I mean?
Like you were saying, there's three Russian teams now.
Yeah, it's true. Man, if there were still one,
it would be interesting. Well, the other thing too is, and this is the biggest one, the NHL is still playing, so there's enough hockey to watch.
Yeah.
If there was no hockey on, I'd be watching it. But there is hockey on.
Well, and I think the USA women are great. They're fun to watch.
Well, because the women's game is still the best.
Yeah.
Those are all the best women who play hockey in the world. They're at the tournament. The men, it's all of the, I don't know,
second, the women's team
second,
are your best.
Third tier best people in the world doing it. So the women's game's more interesting.
Yeah.
All right, let's do some awards here. What's the fantasy update?
Oh, I'm still in the lead pretty good. You know, like I said, I got to thank, you know, a lot of these Detroit players that I've been plucking up and down. And Austin Matthews is going to be my MVP. He's just ripping it up for me.
There you go. All right, do you guys have a Howie?
I didn't see one.
I always wait for your suggestions on those ones.
Yeah, you usually pick out a different one.
Well, I'm a little lacking on those, so I don't have one this week. So we'll move on. Dirtbag, the guy from the Flyers, what he did against Detroit, we won't get into it. Enough said. I mean, wasn't there enough of a commotion in the ECHL or wherever that happened with Subban's brother? Now I know the other guy wasn't black, but I mean, only a Flyer would do something like that.
Yeah, and that was my whole thing, even with Subban's brother, was if you're going to make that gesture, you're just kind of a punk that doesn't deserve to go to the next level. If you're going to do the tough guy thing once referees get between you and you're going to dance around, you haven't learned to kind of – you're not Ty Domi. Ty Domi can do that. Bob Probert could do that.
Yeah, yeah.
All right, Frankie LaRue, Tony Twist. Until you're them, don't do stuff like that.
I couldn't read my own writing. I do have a Howie. Todd Reirden. Coach of the Penguins hurt his knee shoveling. What is going on, Todd? First of all, Mark Friedman should be shoveling your yard. Second of all, where are these kids in Pittsburgh? If any assistant coach on the Penguins was my next door neighbor, I'd be shoving this driveway every
right
day for
on.
Free tickets and Sid gear.
Exactly.
I don't understand that.
Todd Reirden, another great example of a coach that rode a lot of buses and just played, you know, plugged in there, and he ended up coaching.
I said on TV, you know, does he have to wear a different colored suit to practice when he gets back so they know not to bump into him?
That's funny.
All right. The Korea. Jack Hughes got crushed. Actually, one time Czar hit someone and knocked him down. Czar crushed Jack Hughes. Then Hughes came back and scored in a losing cause, I might add. But Jack Hughes looking like the number one pick, I might add.
Oh,
Jack
yeah.
Hughes.
Yeah, yeah.
I mean, no crime not to be Sid or Jesus, but he's looking very well.
Looking good.
The Mario, of course, you got to go to Sydney. Yeah. You hear Lang not doing the game anymore. I guess Guesthouse call was great, but Lang did a call just for everybody else. Did you hear Lang's call?
No, I didn't even know he did that. That's great.
Yeah, like he texted because Borky, they were talking to guys. I wonder what Mike would have said with him and Mets, Borky and Mets, and Lang's call was 1, 2, 3, 4, 500 goals.
Nice. For the captain. Yeah, he got number 300 and number 500 against the Flyers.
I hope he gets number 600 and 700. I hope he gets... If he only had 10 goals his career, they were all against the Flyers and put a statue up.
He has 500, like pretty round numbers, so it's easy to remember. He has 500 goals in his career. He has 50 against the Philadelphia Flyers. That's 10% of all of his goals have been scored against one team in Philadelphia.
Oh, I have it on my Penguin notes here for my radios. Wait, it's on the back. Oh, here we go. Where is it at? Sid. Anyway, the most points against the Flyers in history, all round about, it's like Mario has like 121, Jágr has 117, and Sid has like 112. There's like the most points against the Flyers in NHL history.
He'll get there.
Top three. I have it somewhere in here. A lot of notes. All right, keep going with the awards. The Mario, okay. I didn't see any Claude's. Dio's. We have Boldy, the hat trick versus the Red Wings, and Skinner, the Grand Salami, 4. That's like more than he scored all last year against the Habitants.
Got to go Skinner.
You got to go with it. When someone puts up a 4 spot.
Got to go with it, yeah.
Bob Probert, Jamie Benn versus Winnipeg, which is Dylan Ice getting Dylan a headache. And then Shen versus the Fisherman. People are calling for Barry Trotz's head. Are they insane?
Yeah.
Are they insane?
Come on. Still one of the best coaches.
Oh, Shen. To me, Shen in Vancouver, and also I know Hamonic. He has his own mental problems. Not mental problems, but he's his own prima donna. But look for those two guys to make a low-level difference. I want the Penguins to get Shed. Shed may be too much asking, but I think the Penguins could get Hamonic as a little backup to Ruedel.
Yeah.
I'm
not sure how much, again, money they have to spend, but they do have some because Gino was, you know, sidelined. They have some cash there from LTIR.
Shed would be a nice pickup.
If Casper the Ghost plays like he's doing now, he will go. If he wants to go to meet up with Rutherford in Vancouver, then I'll take Shen.
Yeah. Shen would be a great pickup.
The way he's playing now, they're going to get someone different to play with Gino anyway. So you might as well trade him because he's playing terrible. All right, we'll move on. Save. The only save I have is one last night from the Smith. I thought it was a great save. I believe it was JVR. I could be wrong. You guys have any more saves? I didn't watch too many whole games.
I'm bad with remembering big saves because I'm an anti goalie guy. But hey, I'll go with the hometown one though. I did think that he wasn't great last night, but the Smith did make a couple big saves. I'm trying to remember the JVR one.
It might not have been JVR. It was we got in crazy for save.
Shesterkin made a nice one against Boston.
Okay, well, there we go. Igor's always fair.
Oh, game. Wait, hold, can I say this? The women's team who played Canada like 2 games ago, I think it was Slovakia. This girl was unbelievable.
The goalie, yeah.
Oh, my God. They outshot them like 44 to like 3 or whatever, and she stopped like 43 of them, like, just on her head. And Canada ended up winning the game. Next week I'll mention it for sure and remember her name. But one of the best goaltending performances I've seen in a long time.
Wow.
I know it's not the NHL, but just throw it in there.
I'll tell you, that is one thing that the ladies have.
goaltending.
Over everything. There's some women goaltenders that are just flat out amazing.
Yeah.
I mean, amazing. It's good stuff, ladies. All right, here we, the Goonies, Carlson, the headshot on Brady Tkachuk. Nick Paul fought terrible Tommy. Got Branson versus Ross, the Boss Johnson. That was a big timer. That was a heavyweight tilt. Duhame ran your buddy Stahl, and then Stetzer fought him. Jeannot runs Ville Heinonen. Lowry fought him. Lowry's been busy with the 50 cups. Berwicki, the elbow on Svechnikov. That could have been a dirtbag. Ben on Dylan Loveseen. We had Shen on Johnson. We got Charlie Mack versus D'Angelo, a D-man battle. That was a good one there. Gibby, you had Gibby roughing up Yanni Gord. Bastion versus Cernek. Surgitech Severson versus Servacek. Kunin versus Reichel. And my favorite one, Delorier versus the Big O.
I was waiting for that one. I was waiting for you because that one was some bombs.
That's a big one. Yeah.
Those guys were each connected four or five times each and stayed on their feet.
Those are the heavyweights.
That was an old school fight.
I got to say, who's tried harder? The Washington Capitals to get Flower out of Chicago, or Berkey to get Delorier out of Anaheim? It started with Rutherford. We've tried to get Delorier about nine different times.
Yeah, he's been rumored a lot to go to Pittsburgh.
He'd be great for you guys.
He'd be amazing. They're not getting rid of him because the first time someone takes exception to Zegras's stuff.
Good point. Yeah.
Yeah,
go ahead.
Funny, I think it was Kevin Weeks was saying that when he was in the league, if somebody was doing Zegras' stuff, you know, they would have gotten a stick immediately to the face. And he said that in today's culture, from the players he's talked to, they think it's fun. Well, so it's like there's been a slight change.
That shows you the real change.
There's
that's
been a
happening.
Slight change that's happening. Like, if Hal Gill was still playing, wouldn't be cool. But, like, there's been a transition. the way these players think and stuff, not only do they not mind it, they try and do it themselves. How many people are trying the Michigan now?
Again, I think it's cool.
It's going to backfire at some point, you know, and
sure,
going to cause a breakout for their own team, and we'll see less of it.
Sure,
but
you do need to see some fun in the game. Yeah, why not?
It's a legal goal. Why not? Yeah. And it's hard to do. I mean, I forget who it was came on. Adam Oates, your favorite. He came out and said that he doesn't like the play. He's a skills coach, I believe, for Boston. He doesn't like the play. He doesn't tell his players to do it. But he couldn't have done it. He's like, it is a very skilled play. Like, there's not very many players at the NHL level that can do it.
Well, you know what I think? It gets non-hockey people interested in the game.
Yeah.
I got so many people sending me that little clip that aren't even hockey fans. They go, did you see this?
Yeah. No,
you know, it's something that gets attention.
No, it's cool. And we don't realize how special Zegras is that he can just do it so effortlessly.
Yeah.
he can just try it every time.
Non-hockey fans, though, got into it, too. They were like, look at this guy. Yeah.
I think that's a good – I think Zegras is a reason to go get Toffoli if you're Calgary. Because I don't think Anaheim's going anywhere. and Jesus will figure it out. So then you have, you know, six teams fighting for one spot.
Yeah.
In the Pacific Division.
Yeah, it's a tight race there.
Who would have thought that division would be this crazy? I mean, the Sharks really threw a wrench in by winning, enough games to make it interesting. And the Kings just turned it on this year in a way
Kings
I don't think anyone
Ducks.
Saw. Yeah, the Kings and Ducks. I mean, that division is completely different than how anybody drew it up.
It's kind of cool.
Who would think Seattle would stink? Oh, no. I would when I saw their coach. revisionist statistics here. I got them. Goals versus the Flyers. Mario, 51. Sydney, 49. Now 50. Those are your two. So he's one behind Mario for the most melting of the creamsicles. Here's the all-time points. Mario, 124. Yags, 120. Sydney, 117. There may be more because I don't know if that includes last night. All right. Here's the final one for everybody, not just your Penguins here. Six franchises have had two men score 500 goals wearing their uniform. Only six franchises. Here we go. Of course, Sid and Mario. Stan, Mikita, and the Golden Jet. Bobby Hall, excuse me. Gordy, Stevie Y, of course. Michelle, Dion, and Luke for the mistress. For the fishermen, Trotz and Bossy, only one franchise has had three. And of course, you know who that is. Guy Lafleur, Jean Beliveau, and the Rocket, Maurice Richard. I will be in Pittsburgh next Thursday with the great Paul Verzi at the Improv. And then I'll plug a bunch of stuff, but definitely. And then back in Pittsburgh, April 16th, Club Cafe, no Penguin game. Come out. No excuses.
Yeah, I'll just be with Jimmy and Joey this Saturday.
Say hi to the boys.
Will I you? Will.
Yeah. And I will be at the Improv again and the Laugh Factory in Hollywood this weekend. Well, listen, enjoy Aruba there, my friend.
I am completely I did the radio spot. I went down to the beach, went in the ocean, came back, hanging and did this. I'm going back to the beach and then the show in a couple hours. Perfect.
There you go. You can't beat that. All right, Joe Bartnick, enjoy Aruba. And Andy Picaro, thank you. Great job. Our great producer, Aaron, we thank you. This is Fraser Smith. We are Puckoff. We are out.